Sometimes it feels like the world is moving at hyperspeed and you can't keep up because it's one thing, then another, and don't forget the meeting and the yoga class and the dinner reservation, but then you get into the all-new Nissan Murano, and you feel the breeze from the panoramic moonroof, while the massaging seats melt away the tension of the day. And you realize that sometimes the greatest rush is not rushing at all. Shop the all-new Murano at NissanUSA.com. Panoramic moonroof, massaging leather-appointed seats are available features.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hello and welcome to the HBO Boys podcast. Today we're going to be talking about The Last of Us. Season 2, Episode 1, entitled Future Days. I'm Ryan, and Adam's here also.
I'm also here. And Future Days, if you didn't know, a fan of the game, it is a reference to an audio track by Pearl Jam or Eddie Vedder.
Why?
Future Days. That was just a song they used in the game. Like Pearl Jam. Pearl Jam is canon in the Last of Us universe.
Why?
Because they're awesome.
So. Oh, no other reasons or?
Nah, they're just really good.
All right, I'll take that.
Yeah, man.
So, just to orient everybody, right? And set this up. You can go back and listen to us recap and review Season 1 of The Last of Us, but just as an introduction to your characters here, Adam is a gigantic fan of this franchise, both the games and the television show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a fan of the television show, have never played the games, but I am at least plugged into the zeitgeist enough where if there's a giant spoiler to know about the game or show, I know it.
Yeah. You did a lot of scrolling on the internet.
Right. I did that thing where, well, no, that's not even true. Like some shows I go in and in the past have ruined for myself just as a gag. Just as funsies.
Just, you know, just because.
Just because I hate myself or whatever. Sure. But like this one not. Like I didn't go looking for every large plot point that happened within these two games. They were just so popular and people were talking about them so often, whether it be in real life or on the internet, that I just kind of know. So, it doesn't make the show worse. It doesn't, and makes me want to play the games one day. But. You know, I haven't yet. So we're going to be leaning on Adam here a lot. You're going to ask or hear me ask, so what about the game? A lot of times.
fair enough. I'm hyped to do it. And last season we had Jamie in the first half of it. So hopefully we get him on some future episodes as he has some very specific feelings about certain things. He's also, I believe, played this game, not to the extent I have. He just kind of ran through it. So he'll have some interesting aspects to think about as well.
Yeah, that's a good tease. Wait for Jamie to come on here to talk about the geopolitical influence on this game and perhaps its creators. He, on our private Discord, which you can join by joining our Patreon, which we'll shill at the end, he went on a whole rant. And at the end, I was like, all right. that affects me 0%, but I appreciate that you have those feelings.
Oh yeah, he's very intertwined in that political motives here.
Yeah, he's really in that political mode, but not me though. Me, I'm just kind of watching a TV show. So
yeah,
and I like TV. So sure. we as we get back into The Last of Us Season 2, the first thing that happens is 5 years later, a time jump. So this is the first of many times I'm going to say this. Hey, Adam, did they do that in the game?
They sure did. It was 5 years in the game as well.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
And you'll hear me say the game, quote unquote, the game, and also source material, because the term the game will get very tired after 8 episodes or 9 episodes.
I disagree wholeheartedly. Okay. I think saying the game, people will be like, oh, I bet it's in the game.
Well, you just lost. So everyone who's listening, I didn't. Just lost. You just lost the game.
I didn't. No. I cannot be forced to lose. You can't tell me I lost, so I will never. 5 years later.
Yes.
You know, the first thing that we see as we come back into this season is a group of folks who are the surviving members of all the people who got murked in the hospital last season, of Joel killing them all to break Ellie out. As we might recall, Ellie is somehow immune to the infected. And so figuring out, or like breaking into her body and, you know, squeezing all the immune juice out. Jeez. Is what they were really going for there. And they lied to her, saying that they were going to be able to do so, keeping her alive. But obviously that's not the case. They need all the immune juice. And when Joel woke up and figured that out, he was like, actually, instead of letting you guys have a chance to save the world, I'm going to kill you all instead, because I have, you know, these leftover feelings of my daughter dying. Ellie is sort of my new version of a daughter. I am protecting her. And rather than the world be saved as a whole, which I, as Joel, don't care about, I'm going to mainly just kill everybody and take Ellie. And everyone who wasn't in that hospital but was a part of this group, we enter season two, they're standing around a bunch of graves, and they take it, they're taking it poorly.
Yeah, it's not going well. And to put it a little bit more eloquently, because immune juice is
you don't like that?
No, I like it that? For I like it for us, Ryan. That's very on brand with us. But yeah, Ellie's, they need to get to Ellie's brain, and the only way they can do that is by killing her. And that's a bummer and a huge reveal in the game, and the end of the first game was very jarring, as you can imagine.
I guess, I don't know. I feel like, you know, what's in her brain that they need, you think?
Well, so the fungal virus, at least when you're playing, is attached to the brain. You know, they kind of changed around how this virus worked for the show. It is not airborne in the show as it is in the game. And one of many times I'm saying the game, and I can now hear myself saying it over and over again, but anyway, get used to it.
I feel like
it.
You're focusing in on this a lot more than anyone else would. It's one of those things where, like, you're saying it out loud, so of course everybody's now
someone
paying attention to it.
Someone called me out on it last season, and now I can't stop thinking about it. Anyway.
Oh, so it's one person that's really just up in your muck about this. Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah. But so it's airborne in the game. It's you need to actually come in contact with it, with your blood, in the show, or consumer in the show. But there's variations of it that we're learning too, that they're morphing it. It's adapting this version of the virus. So we'll see more about that this season. They kind of teased it a little bit in the post show, but yeah. So it apparently still affects your brain.
Gross. Sounds like immune juice. So in juice. This initial group, it is led by Abby Anderson, who is played by Caitlin Dever. Now, Caitlin Dever is a wonderful actor. She was just the lead in Apple Cider Vinegar, and I remember her best from Dope Sick, which she was amazing in. And she is getting this part as Abby, which is a huge part in, guess what, Adam?
The game.
The game. And in the game, she is played by Laura Bailey, one of the most famous voice actors in the world. And again, this is a part that if you play video games, you know Abby and her deal. But there was some discourse on the internet when Caitlin got the part of Abby. And can you explain, as a novice, why was everybody so mad?
So much like you said, she's lovely. She is a wonderful actress. She's so, so good. I think she's going to play Abby well. But it comes down to the physical appearance of Abby in the game versus the show. In the game, a very large part of her is her physical appearance of being absolutely stacked, jacked, huge. That she lifts weights. She's incredible. She's a bodybuilder, essentially, in the game. And she does things that only someone who is incredibly strong can do. And when you see the difference between Abby in the game and Abby in the show, you're going to be like, hey, how are they going to do this specific scene that ultimately will happen in the future? Because she straight up won't be able to do it if she looks the way she looks. So I don't know if this is going to continue. I assume it will. But me also being a fan of that game, it was a little disappointing for me too, because they make a huge point about it in the game that she is jacked as shit and she can overpower many men. So I understand it, but I also am open to the difference, because for it being a show, you have to adapt it for TV or else you'll be playing 20 hours of, you know, stealthing around and killing zombies with knives to the throat. Like, that's what the game is if there's no story. So I'm okay with the changes as long as it makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, listen, this is happening. And I saw the discourse when it came around, but I wasn't really, I'm not as attached to the IP as you are. So I was like, sure. I didn't know she was super duper jacked.
Yeah.
Was she in The Last of Us 1 or
just
2?
She was not. She was not. New character.
Got it. Okay. So I was unaware, but I knew everybody was mad. Although I will say something incredibly similar is happening right now as they are announcing the cast of the new Harry Potter TV show.
Yep.
Where there's as I say that, if you know, you know, and if you don't, it doesn't matter. But they cast a black man as Snape, and everyone on the internet is really trying to reconcile with that of being on, like, can you be on one side of that, hate it for the book reasons and not be it's a whole other thing, right? Mm-hmm. So I think it's worth a larger discussion, both of them, honestly. But this is a comedy podcast, so I'm gonna move on anyway. Abby is really mad, right? Because we don't know exactly why she's mad yet in the show. I'm sure it gets told it to us down the line in the game, and we'll say it out loud when it happens. But she, at the very least, you can take away from this first scene that a lot of her friends are dead. And she seems pretty vindictive about it, as she makes it clear that their mission now is to find Joel and then kill him slowly.
Yeah. And again, this is another part of the show that met with a little, you know, split decisioning on whether this is cool or not, or if it's if it matches. And to some degree it does. And I think actually one of the characters did drop a little bit of a spoiler in the post episode, like, interview about Abby's motives, and because I don't think they mentioned it in the actual episode, but they said it.
They didn't.
In the post. So they spoiled themselves, kind of. But I'm not going to say it here. If you caught it, whatever. But so this actually was something I wasn't a fan of with this episode. They introduced Abby and her motive to kill Joel very quickly. Like, we got no backstory at all about Abby. We know nothing about her. In the game, she is a leader. She is, people respect her. She is someone that people count on. We don't know that now. So I think that we need to kill Joel slowly doesn't hold as much weight as it did in the game, because we don't know that everyone is kind of backing her to do this. Like, she that they'll do whatever she wants to do, right?
Yeah, it's weird because it did seem like she had to convince them.
Yeah, and that is not how I guess people are going to be like, no, why would you do that? Let it go kind of thing. But it was very different. It was very jarring to drop her in the story so spastically, I guess. It felt rushed when a lot of other parts of this episode were very, very one-to-one to the game. And they chose to be different with Abby, which I thought was weird because she's a huge part of the story.
Yeah, I think it's two things. One, we don't know what her motivation is. So it seemed as though she had to convince her pals, and that, like, I didn't know she was truly a leader until you said it just now.
I just
thought she, like, rises through the ranks in that moment because she obviously has a motivation that we haven't learned yet. And because of the revenge in her heart, they now listen to her. So that's new information for me. But on the other side of this, like, the perspective that they've chosen to do when coming into this second season is, we're going to set up all of the threats to Joel and Ellie, including themselves, but also the outside threats immediately. And so we have the full context of, like, yeah, their time in this, like, 5-year sort of calmness is obviously going to come to an end, and the way it's going to happen is unclear because of the amount of threats that we introduce in episode one.
This is what where I am cautiously optimistic about the show, and we know that the show is being split into two seasons to cover the second game. But there's a lot of buildup to learning who Abby is. There's a lot of flashbacks to Ellie and Joel. There's a lot of flashbacks to Abby and her past, we'll say. And so it's just interesting that they revealed it so quickly, because the story building was so good in the game. And people, there are a fair amount of people that do not like the second game. I am not one of those people. I thought it was a brilliantly told story. I think they do an amazing job at, like, building this world and making you, like, buy into the characters. But it just, they're fast-tracking a little bit. I know they have to, but it's...
No. They don't have to. This is a choice. But I have a follow-up question.
Sure.
Do they not like the second game because of the thing?
I think
yes
it's
or
a,
no.
It's,
yes or
it's,
no. Don't,
that's
don't
part
expound
of it.
Upon
it. It's part of it. It's
of
part
course
of
it.
It
is.
It's part of it. And part of it is Abby, like, the relationship ultimately between Abby and Ellie, like, not giving away anything, but, like, them two people, like, interacting with each other.
All right. Now, I'm sad. I shouldn't have asked the question.
That's
that
okay.
Last 20 seconds was worth nothing. Okay. So back in Jackson Hole, or in Jackson Hole, Ellie then manipulates Tommy in the first scene where we see them into being on patrol after also screaming into the void that she's immune.
Yep.
And giving us the vibe that, hey, man, Ellie is in a very comfortable spot, at least as far as, like, she is primed and ready to be reckless.
Oh, yeah.
And at the same time, we learned that she is mad at Joel. And everyone, including Joel, is like, well, she's just 19 and I'm sort of her dad. But I think it's pretty straightforward that she knows she's being lied to some degree.
Yeah.
And as does Joel. Like, I think she knew, and then we talked about this at the end of season one, too. We had a long discussion about it. But like, I think she knew she was being lied to the moment she was lied to. To what degree and to what amount, I don't know, or I don't think she does either, but I think she knows.
Yeah, she's too young to understand really maybe why he did it, and she's just waiting for him to kind of come clean to her. But yeah, this scene with Tommy and shooting the zombie, that this was a pull right from the game. One-to-one you play, and this is kind of your tutorial on how to aim and stuff, like, again.
Oh, cool.
Like, yeah, aim and shoot at zombies with your sniper rifle, like, you know. So yeah, this was great. This was a good scene.
What does the game have to say about the amount that Ellie knows she's being lied to? Like, when it finally comes out, is her reaction like, yeah, obviously, dick? Or is her reaction like, what?
Well, this is another thing that they're going to have to navigate, and it'll be very interesting on the choice they decide to do it. So you actually don't find out, like, you don't see the scene where where Ellie learns the truth until kind of maybe halfway through the game. And it's done as a flashback. So they're out on patrol and I can't remember exactly what something happens where it gets revealed. And use this incredibly powerful scene. Now, Ashley Johnson and Troy Baker are Ellie and Joel. No one can replace them. I just played back the first scene of the first game again, and it just solidified that performance is just incredibly better. It's just better by every facet of the definition of the word better. It's insanely good.
What a sentence.
No, it's true. But okay. So... they reveal that in a flashback, and I really hope they stick it, because that, again, is it sets up like why Ellie is mad at Joel. But as of right now, we assume that she doesn't know, right?
Right. Okay. Is the flashback in the game prior to the 5 years later? Is it within the 5 years?
No, it's not.
Okay. So it's after the... It's in the timeline after right now where we are as an audience.
We know that flashback goes that flashback is maybe 4 years later or 3 years later.
Okay, so exactly, it is within the 5 years.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, I'm sorry. I mean, it's after. Yes, it is within the 5 years. So she knew this whole time. That's why she was an asshole to him.
Right. So, okay. You know what? Here, I'm gonna say this, Adam.
Yeah,
I'm gonna stop, and this might be like. Half the audience leave, all seven people listening to this, half of them are like, I guess I can't now. Navigating around not being able to talk about what we know is straight fucking impossible. And but like, so that is a thing that we just said, where according to the in the game's chronology, as we enter season two of this show, and as we enter season two or episode game number two, Ellie already knows, is what you just said.
You find that out halfway through the game, that she has known the whole time.
Here's the thing, of course she does. And also the way she's acting at the beginning of this second season is like she does. Because she does. Like, I don't know. I don't think it's that big of a deal, because she's not talking to him. And there's like, everyone's like, well, it's because she's 19. And like I said at the beginning of this conversation, no, it's because she knows she's being lied to. And now that's like true. I didn't know it was true, but I knew it was true. You know what I mean?
Yeah. They lead you to believe, like in the game, oh, it's just Ellie being Ellie and being young. But it's definitely more palpable in the game than it is that the show leads. Like, they lead you to believe like she's just ignoring him because she is young. Like, you know,
they tried to lead us to believe that in the episode too, and I didn't buy it then. So
yeah.
Joel goes to therapy.
Yeah, this is very different. So different. This doesn't even happen.
Catherine O'Hara, amazing. Moira Rose in the game, Home Alone. I mean, one of the greatest actors of our age, Catherine O'Hara, who this scene was pretty cool.
She was great.
Drunk and mad at Joel for killing her husband. This is a thing that we'll get flashbacks about, him and her husband's relationship in the second season. The only reason I know that is because they cast Joey Pantalone, you know, the mean man from The Matrix, as Catherine O'Hara's husband. And at first I was like, wait, is this just like a thing that if I play the game, I would know who this husband is? And I think the answer to that's not, because we don't know Catherine O'Hara is new to the show, as you just previously mentioned.
Yep.
So I wonder how many flashbacks we're going to get. I think we're going to get like one line of flashbacks, Joey Pants being a focal character in said flashbacks. And it's also probably where they'll cover like the Joel and Ellie stuff. And hopefully in the flashbacks too, we get Abby stuff. Mm-hmm. I really hope they don't just take Abby from the moment we met her on. I hope we see something in the past. I would just have to assume.
Dude, same. If they don't, it ruins her story arc. Like, yeah, there's a lot that goes on that makes Abby who she is based on her flashbacks. Like, so it's so poignant. And also about Catherine O'Hara's husband's character, Eugene is his name. This is just a character that gets name dropped. That's it. We don't know anything about him. We know very little information about him in the game.
Yeah, I think they're just going to use him as the in to,
of course,
any and all the flashbacks that they're going to try to do.
Yep.
So while Catherine O'Hara and Joel are talking, she asks him to stop lying to her, and then he does not, and he leaves.
Yeah. I mean, I liked that this scene was added. I think it adds context that this Joel is much different than Game Joel. Game Joel kind of has repressed emotions. He doesn't. He eventually comes out and like shows his emotions, but like he is much more rigid, much harder. In the show, he is absolutely like out there. You know, he doesn't want people to know he's going to therapy. Like, we made that known in the show, but like, we see more of this from him than we ever did.
What, emotion?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Just checking. On patrol, which Ellie and Dina are on, they see a bear all mangled up.
Mm.
And they also go into like a grocery store. What they were supposed to do on patrol is just like see blood on the ground and then go back and be like, guys, there's blood on the ground. But as previously stated, Ellie is in her very reckless phase. So she goes into the building where they hear clickers inside or, you know, infected. And Dina follows her to try to just like do a fun murder.
Yeah, and fun murder.
After they do their one fun murder, Ellie falls through the floor just because it's like a bad floor. And Dina is like, just stay there and I'll come save you. But Ellie can't just stay there because someone's in the room with her.
Yeah, so this was kind of a mesh of multiple scenes and action sequences from the game. This in a grocery store was almost one-to-one. Like, the set piece looks amazing. They did such an amazing job dressing the set. And then the fight with what we know now as the Stalkers, a new version of Infected, where they actually hunt you, and they are smarter, and they are tactful. And so that's very cool. These are incredibly frustrating in the game. They're very difficult if you're set on anything higher than normal difficulty. I died so many times fighting the Stalkers.
Eventually, Ellie kills the Stalker, but after a pretty brutal fight where she gets bit. But as we know, she has that immune juice, so she'll be fine.
Immune juice, right.
Dina then takes her out of there, and when they get back to Jackson Hole, they then sit in front of the Council of Elders or whatever that Joel isn't even on. And they tell them that the zombies are smart now. And then the council is like, but you weren't even supposed to do what you've been doing. Just get on out of here. And then Ellie and Dina leave and they're like, oh, it's bad that the zombies are smart now. Anyway, who's going to the dance tonight?
Yeah, so this council scene, I'm indifferent. When I first watched it, I'm like, I don't like this at all. Like, what is this small council scene in The Last of Us? Like, it felt very House of the Dragon, and I hated that. I want them to be different so bad. And it was weird at first, but now thinking back to it, like, that kind of makes sense. There is some form of government or law in this Jackson Hole. And it was also the way to explain like the threat of these zombies, because if you did it like the game did, it would take forever because you have more time to play than watch. And I'm okay with it. I ended up being okay with it.
Dance time. They're going dance to dance time. Now.
Also, let's mention really quickly the casting for Dina. This is so good. She is incredibly good. She's stealing every scene that she's on the screen with. Just an incredible cast. I can't think of the girl's name off the top of my head. I don't see it in the thing that I'm reading. But
what, Gina's actor?
Yeah, the actor.
Isabella Merced.
That's it. So she is incredible as Dina. I think this is probably one of the best casts next to Pedro being Joel, because I think that's a great cast.
Yeah, no, she is wonderful. And we can slow down on that character very quickly here. Dina and Ellie are best friends. Dina is on or in a on again, off again relationship that is currently off again. And it's also very clear that Ellie is in love with Dina.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And the guy, Jesse, is who Dina is on again, off again.
Yep. And Jesse, obviously part of the game as well. We see him quite a few times in kind of like patrols and outings. But yes, the barn dance scene, this was, again, a very one-to-one down to the lines that they're saying. It is exactly pulled from the game. Even the guy that calls them a bad name, that is straight from the game. Wonderfully done.
Yep. Ellie and Dina are dancing, and Ellie not that drunk, Dina very drunk, and Dina kisses her, at which point a man is mean to them, and then Joel pushes that man to the ground, and then Ellie is mad about him pushing that man to the ground, and then runs away.
Yeah, and this is actually funny. There's a slight deviation from the game here, too, where Joel comes in and like punts him to the ground in the show. In the game, he just kind of comes up and shoves him away to the side. Like, this was so dramatic.
Yeah, he linebackers the dude from really across did. Yeah.
Yeah, it is not that intense.
Afterwards, Joel and Ellie go home. By the way, in the middle of this, and even I think prior to the dance, Ellie cut into her bite mark to just make it look like a regular scar.
Yeah.
Which it feels as though this is not the first time she's had to do that.
Yeah.
And then they both go home. They're both still on the outs for sure. Mm. And then the last thing that we see, again, like, kind of the scope of the episode, the way I described it prior, was they're showing the insides, but really rounding or bookending with the outside perspective of what the threats are. So the way the first episode ends is, hey, there's an outside threat where Abby and her crew are in big coats and they have guns and they see Jackson Hole from afar and they're a coming. Also, there's an inside threat because some mushroom ass shit is coming through the tubes and it's going to be here soon because it's Tube City, mushroom infected Tube City.
Yeah. And that's, again, that's something that's different. The way this virus spreads is totally different. So they have to find a way to kind of make that work. But yeah, the Abbey at the Overlook, seeing Jackson Hole in the distance. Again, a shot for shot recreation of the game. Also, one thing that you just missed very briefly in the dance scene where Joel comes in and saves the day, or so he thinks. Abby, God, I keep doing this. It's going to happen all the time.
Yeah, you suck.
Ellie says to Joel, "I don't need your help all the time." And that was where I was like, maybe she does already know. I don't know how the timeline is going to work through this season. But yeah, so that was an important kind of like, you know, thing that she said out loud. Like, I don't want you, like, in front of everyone. I don't need you right now. I don't want you right now.
Yeah, I get. Of course she knows. Even if in the show she wasn't told explicitly, she definitely knows. It's on her face the whole time. Yeah, I just don't think she knows like the length that we are like exact. She doesn't know exactly what happened, but she knows it's something is off here. As does Catherine O'Hara, as does most of the outside world when they talk to Joel, because he's a grumpy old dude.
Yeah. Another thing that I just want to mention too, I really like the cast of Bella Ramsey as Ellie. I think she plays her very well. I think she was great as Ellie in the first season because Ellie's younger and a little bit more naive and like childish. In the second game, she is not quite as childish. She's more grown up now. So this is strange because I still think Bella Ramsey is a good cast, like to play Ellie. But again, it comes down, she doesn't physically look like her. In the second game, Ellie is obviously taller. She's a little bit stronger. She is more mature, and she herself is a leader of the group. And I just don't get that from.
Well, yeah, obviously they're not. She's not a leader. She's said someone says to her that people look up to you, right?
Sure.
So she is sort of a ad hoc leader, but not so much like in charge of anything. But yeah, one thing I wanted to bring up was that I felt as though this was something that had to be because things wouldn't happen otherwise. But Ellie is incredibly reckless. She does things that it just feels as though because she's immune, she does things that might get anyone else around her in trouble. And she doesn't give a lot of thought to that.
Totally reckless.
So is that where you're saying, like, okay, because there's two like things here. One, I think you do, and it's pretty clear from this episode and all of season one, I think you do have like a truly emotional reaction to things in this show when they're different, especially when they're really different. And that emotion is, why? How dare you? How dare you? Why?
Yeah, I'm trying to pull myself out of that and watch it without that lens, but it's so hard. It's so, so hard.
And number two, you just mentioned like she is more adult in the second game. Is she doing, but this to be fair, the reckless thing she does or as it was happening was going into the grocery store at all, especially on a patrol where she's just supposed to go back and report. But I know, as you just mentioned, she does it in the game too. Also, I mean, it might not be under the exact circumstances, which makes it more like she should be doing it. Like she's a character who's making a good decision rather than a character making a selfish one.
Yeah, she definitely shows signs of being reckless in the game, but I think it feels so amplified in the show. And I don't know why they chose to do it that expressively.
Mm. Well, so overall, first episode back, what's your general feel like?
Yeah,
you always say you're cautiously optimistic. There is this weird, like, negative tone you always have with the show, though, because of the thing that you say a million times. Because, and this is something we talked about a bunch last season, too, right? Where you're so invested in this IP. And I think we also talk, like, you know, this is how I felt. It's exactly how I felt while watching Rings of Power because how much I am, like, I love my favorite IP is the Lord of the Rings. And like, so I'm really into it. And I think it's going to be how I feel watching the Harry Potter series if they fuck it up, so far, I'm not going to cast any judgment at the moment because, you know, you can take weird, windy roads to get to the same place. If someone's good enough, if a group of people making something are good enough, you can make any weird as fuck choice and still come out with like something that people will love, even though they're used to something else.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to discount your feelings about the character choice, all the character Abby character choices, really. And then Ellie looking like she does. And if that like ruins it moment to moment when watching it sometimes, because yeah, she like a lot of it is that Bella Ramsey looks really specific. Like, like if you saw her in person and she wasn't a famous person, you'd be like, that girl's face is a perfect oval. That's crazy. So, yeah, obviously she doesn't look like Ellie in the second game. She doesn't look like fucking anybody.
Okay.
I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying it's the truth. You know what I mean?
Yeah. My response to that is
you're not at a press conference.
I do like the show. I really liked the first season. I think they did it justice. Bringing a new set of fans to the series that is widely praised generally as a game, one of probably the most recognizable games out there and people know what it is and like it. But I think bringing on new fans of it that will never play video games and they get to experience the same story, I think that's very cool. I'm okay with it deviating a little bit as long as the overall message is the same. And the feelings that I got when I played that first playthrough are the feelings that people get in those same moments in the show. I hope that's what happens. Like, I want people to experience that part of it. And like you said, they can take a bunch of different avenues to get there. I don't mind that. And the characters are a bit different. That's also fine. But I am going to compare it to the game. And I think the performance is just better there. And I think it's better there because it was the first one to do it. And that's fine. But that doesn't make this bad. It just makes it not as good to the people who play the games, you know, which is compared to the general audience that watch television is probably a small part of it that played the game. Because a lot of people are watching this and seeing this for the first time ever. So they're psyched about it. They love it, which I'm happy about. But, you know, I'm on the other side of that.
Yeah. And for me, a guy who is criticized on a pretty constant basis for being a negative Nance.
Yeah.
And I want to try to get out of that. And I was watching the first episode of this show just being like, don't be negative. Don't hate this. Please, for the love of God, don't hate this. Don't be a negative ding. Please, please, please. And then I got to the end of the episode and I was like, that was okay.
It was fine. It was a fine first episode. They made some choices. That's okay.
No. But here's the thing. No. Let's stay there for a second. Okay. It should not be fine. It should not be like Craig Mazin is directing this. He made Chernobyl. Chernobyl rips.
It's
Neil
so
Druckmann
good.
Wrote this. Neil Druckmann, while his political beliefs, according to Jamie, are not good. I don't know. I didn't read what James said, but he said it's bad. So I guess so. Yeah, okay, sounds good. I don't care. Oh, God. The level at which I don't care is unreal. I should actually read it now that I'm saying that out loud and see if it's. I get to the end of it like, oh, no, I guess I care. That's bad. But I don't know yet because I don't read because I'm a moron. Anyway, the point is that, like, this show is being made by an incredible amount of people who are incredibly talented, and it's HBO's flagship show. That's where I get to the end of it and go, all right. Well, that was a cool mangled bear. I liked that part. Also, it looks beautiful. It sounds amazing. But those two things don't matter anymore because every premiere show is those things. And we only should like care if it's not. And I got to the end of the first episode and it's hard because we just finished watching Severance. Severance freaking reps, dude.
Yeah. So now what's interesting though is us saying that this first episode was fine, it was good, it was okay. We're actually in the minority from what I've seen. Like, there are people who are outspoken that really don't like the show, but most people who are watching this and are posting about it freaking love it. And that's great. I'm psyched. But you didn't play the game and we like the game more.
That's it. See, that's the feeling I want. What I don't want from our Adam is the like, why? How dare you? What I want is the fuck you. You don't have the hours I have. I've seen some things. Like, that's anyway. Yeah.
I mean, do I like the show? Absolutely. I do like the show. Do I love the game? 1,000%.
Do I love rhetorical questions? 1,000,000%.
Will I
can't wait for Jeffrey Wright.
Question?
Sure. I can't wait for Jeffrey Wright to be here. I know he's going to be in here, and he was from Westworld, and I like that guy.
He's great.
I can't wait for that guy.
He's
anyway,
going to be real good, and he's going to... Oh, that's a great cast. And you want to know why that's a great cast?
I guess.
I'm like 95% sure Jeffrey
Not
Wright
enough.
voiced the original Isaac in the game as well.
Well, you do the end part where you tell people how to find us on the internet while I Google.
Yep. So please, if you like what you hear or just want to continue listening, to us rattle on about The Last of Us Season 2 and any other shows that are airing, please follow us on our Patreon at patreon.com/HBOBOIZ for $1 or more a month. You get all of these episodes early, ad-free, some Patreon exclusives peppered in there if we have time to do them, which has been pretty regularly lately, except for this week because we're time constrained. But you get access to our private Discord, like Ryan said earlier, where we can chat together about shows in real time, or you can talk to us in our general channel. And you can also get your name read out at the end of the episodes, which I do every time. So thank you to our current patrons, Connor O'Dowd, Jamie Lochner. I am the Asian girl that like that. I am the Asian. It's really mucked that one up. I am the Asian girl getting fucked by myself. Thank you. Chris Wood, Brent Inn, Craig, John Jewers, okay. Major Woody, Butter Nichols, Susan, Buffalo Pizzle, C. Fritz, and Cat's Pajama 10. And thank you, Brent Ginn and Butter Nichols, for being our $5 a month tier patron. We appreciate you. We appreciate all of you for what you give to us and support us doing this thing that we do. Please also like and follow and subscribe to all of our social medias at the HBO Boys or at the HBO Boys podcast on Threads, Instagram, TikTok. We're over there. I am pretty active on most of that stuff, so you can interact with me. I'll interact with you. It'll be pretty chill. Any last minute words or did you find that piece of knowledge?
I did so long ago. I honestly forgot it was a whole thing. It was definitely Jeffrey Wright. So
that's what
95%. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Also, my main takeaways from that is like, if you don't know the context of the names thing you just did, that's wild. You know?
Yeah.
But if you do know the context, it makes a whole lot of sense. It's referring to the White Lodi, which we also recently talked about. So that makes sense.
You know, listen to that. You go in the backlog and listen to... to the White Lotus, we did that episodic recap. And so you can set your name to whatever you want, and I will say it. I am bound by law. Not really, but I still do it.
Okay. And I'll say that weren't I pretty positive? I was pretty positive, right?
Yeah.
I was being positive.
You're positive. You're so positive.
I'm positive, dude. I'm out here trying to be positive.
Why do you sound
everyone was saying I was being negative all the time, didn't like me, that I don't like anything, and I was trying to be pretty positive.
Why do you sound like Jerry Seinfeld?
I'm positive.
Why am I doing the thing?
I'm out of the contest. That's not even okay. Bye.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.